Near FM. The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Yes, indeed. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph. Welcome along to The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, we'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text. The text line is open and the number is 087-6944-500. That's 087-6944-500. And that's open while we're here and while the show is on the air. You can get in touch as well anytime on Twitter, at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories we can. This week, no new data centres for the capital for the foreseeable future. Do you have a monument in your back garden? And Ken will tell you what you can do if you do. And LED lights going to help the Dubs see the stars. Swords Main Street is to be pedestrianised? ? We talked last week about Barney's tractor run. And they certainly pulled in the funds, and we have an update on that. Get your seat for St. Patrick's Day Parade. News on that from Ken as well, and an obituary for local legend Noel Hughes. Now, when was the last time you were in your local library? The arrival of 2022 brings an invitation from Dublin City Libraries and Axis Ballymun to celebrate the Libraries of Dublin and all they offer physically and digitally as a space for learning, well-being and creativity. Belong Be Own is calling on regular library users and non-users alike to engage with the local libraries through podcasts, online talks, live events, literature and animation. It's just one of the initiatives from a wide variety of exciting and intriguing cultural events being supported and hosted by Axis Ballymun over the coming weeks. Now, to find out more, Sarah will be joined in about 10 minutes' time by Sorka Keane, who is the project coordinator of Belong Be Own. Then, just after one, Sarah will be back to have a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. After that, then, we're going to have a chat. Well, Ken is going to have a chat with Christine O'Kelly from DCU. They are committed to widening access to higher education. This includes enhancing the lives of older members of the community through innovative educational, health and wellness programs, arts and cultural activities. And Christine is DCU's dedicated age-friendly university global network coordinator. And she's going to talk to Ken about 1:15 about the recently launched Semester 2 programme and other ways that you can get involved. Looking forward to hearing that. And before I finish as well, each week on the programme we let you know about jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. Take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally every week, believe it or not, there are hundreds and hundreds of opportunities for both jobs and volunteering. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Afternoon, Ken. How are you?
I am not too bad, and yourself?
Very good, yeah. Now, no new data centres for the capital for the foreseeable.
Indeed, in shocking news, Airgrid has confirmed it will not connect new data centres in Dublin for the foreseeable future. And it says that the greater Dublin area is constrained and any new data centre applications will only be considered for other parts of the country on a case-by-case basis. And they say there's concerns about energy security and large energy consumption of data centres. And indeed, it's expected in a couple of years that 20 to 25% of all energy consumption in the country will be data centres. And indeed, Airgrid has issued 7 amber alerts in the last 12 months for warning of issues around energy supplies. And here on The Week in Review, not only do we look at the headlines, we also look at the terms and conditions. And down the bottom it says, data centres already in the pipeline will be progressed. So, more to come, I think.
There's always terms and conditions.
Indeed.
Now, this is an interesting story about the possibility that you might have a monument in your back garden and what you would do if you did.
This applies to more people than you think it does.
Okay.
So the Fingal County Monuments Fund for 2022 is now open for applications. It was first established in 2020 and it provides valuable archaeological heritage and helps the owners and guardians of archaeological monuments to safeguard them into the future for the benefit of communities and the public. So the core aims of the funds are the conservation, maintenance, protection and presentation of the monuments themselves. So in 2021, 270,000, which is a reasonable amount of funding, was allocated through Fingal County Council to 8 projects. So Fingal Heritage Officer Christine Baker says there are over 1,200 archaeological sites and monuments in Fingal, which means you could have one in your back garden. And the fund provides an opportunity not only for their protection and consolidation, but for their interpretation and presentation, making archaeological heritage more accessible to all. So they're inviting funding under three streams for 2022. So Stream 1 will offer grants up to 85,000. These are aimed at essential repairs and capital works. Stream 2 will offer grants up to 30,000 for the conservation management and reports to identify measures for the keeping of the archaeological monuments. And Stream 3 will offer grants up to 30,000 for the enhancement for the access of infrastructure and interpretation, including virtual and online at the archaeological site. So if you have something in your field, back garden, wherever it happens to be, and you're looking for ways to get involved with the community, you can apply to Fingal County Council for that. So there is some forms to be filled out, and they do need to be sent to Christine by the 15th of February 2022. You've got a whole month on that.
Very good, yeah. Yeah, it does, as you say, maybe it applies to more people than we think.
I think it does, isn't it?
Yeah, a big number. Okay, how are the LED lights going to help the Dubs see the stars, Ken?
So this is a plan to upgrade the public street lighting at a cost of more than $55 million. And we're talking about replacing the old street lights with LED technology, which will give energy savings of more than 50%, and that'll save up to $1.5 million a year. And it'll also significantly contribute to Dublin City's green transition goals. And the upgrade will also significantly reduce sky glow, meaning that the orange glow around Dublin's night sky will fade, and it'll bring the Dublin capital skies much darker at street level. So there's a 4-year plan to replace 40,000 street lights, and they're going to start off with 4,000 this year. So again, hopefully in a couple of years when you go out and about, you'll be able to look up and see some more stars.
It'll be no yellow, it'll be all white as well.
Yes.
And do you think it'll ever happen, Swords Main Street? Will it be pedestrianised? Will it not?
Well, again, the plan is there. What I say, they're following on the successful pedestrianisation of New Street in Malahide. Now, we know that was without its... let's put it away, there was two sides of opinion on that one. So this is going to be included as a sustainable Swords project, and the council said six projects were outlined. They're currently doing some traffic modelling to assess this, and it's going to be published as part of their draft strategy, which will be published in early 2022. It's going to be a 15-month project heading forward. So I think that's going to be an interesting one, and I think that we'll be coming back to it more than once in the next sort of 12 months.
I'd say so, and I'd say, as you say, there'll be very polarised views on both sides there as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, where will all the traffic go? Now, Barney, you talked about, and Barney's tractor run, and they've certainly pulled in the funds.
Indeed. Well, say, the great thing about this, we mentioned last week, was, you know, it's only 20 minutes from Dublin. You can drive into the city, or you could drive out to the North County and have a look at this tractor run, which you've probably never seen before. So we were talking that, you know, it's in its 14th year, and they were talking about maybe getting 100 vehicles, you know, tractors, vintage vehicles. They got a record 160. They did the 2-hour trip around North Fingal, and they raised 15,000 for St. Francis Hospice in Raheny. So far over the last number of years, Barney's raised 121,000. So congratulations to them, and, you know, we look forward to seeing it again next year.
Absolutely, yeah. They're a fantastic sight to behold as well. Yeah. Have you ever seen a tractor run?
I haven't, but it's only 20 minutes down the road. You know,
yeah,
why
super.
Wouldn't you?
No, absolutely spectacular. Now, get your seat for the St. Patrick's Day parade. Is the parade going ahead?
I'm nervous with this one, to be honest. So the St. Patrick's Day Festival is set to return this year with its first parade since 2019.
I don't think they've made a decision yet, have they?
The thing is, they're selling seats.
Oh, right.
They're out there selling seats for the grandstand, and you can get a nice corporate package where you can get lunch in the Westin Hotel afterwards. So they're going ahead. Aileen Galvin, who's the Director of Public Engagement Strategy, says, we're currently planning for the long-awaited return to live in-person events from March the 16th to the 20th across Ireland and in Dublin. So again, we know what happened, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The 13th, you know, Micheál went over, or not Leo, and then said we're closing down the country. 4 days later, they were due to have the St. Patrick's Day Festival, got cancelled, didn't go ahead last year.
Yeah, I think the last I read about it was they were going to make a decision before the end of January. Like, they have been planning for it, for sure.
They're out there selling tickets at the minute, so...
Okay, well, we can live in hope.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, we can live in hope. Now, you have news of the obituary for local legend Noel Hughes. Tell us about that.
We have mentioned Noel on the programme a few times over the last number of years, and his death occurred very recently. Noel, as I say, had worked tirelessly to raise more than over €100,000 for St. Michael's House. Niall Noel, who died before his 83rd birthday very recently, he was a devoted sportsman, a much-travelled librarian, environmentalist and author. A fantastic husband as well, friend to many. He's played 13 sports competitively, Gaelic, hurling, rugby. He played tennis for Sutton and turning out for Connacht veterans in interprovincials until his late 70s. He was a committed golfer, he played out in Donabate. He studied in UCG, emigrated to UK in the late 60s, met his beloved wife Pauline there, and worked for a number of years in British Leyland, where he graduated and became an information scientist. Moved back to Ireland in 1972, took up a job in the library officer as Forrest Forberta, and dealt with physical planning, road and business construction. In 1982, he wrote The History of Irish Engineering from 1760 to 1960. Sounds like a title for Mastermind. became fellowship for the Library Association of Ireland, going on to become the association's president. He then became head of library at ENFO, which is the state's fledgling environmental information service, and an early advocate for climate change. He said he was passionate in his life about two things: his family and fundraising for St. Michael's. He quietly and determinedly raised 100,000 for the charity with his annual golf classic, which saw 250,000 participate every year for the decade, for the last decade. And he says St. Michael's House provides sheltered accommodation for Noel's sons Kevin, and indeed donations were actually raised at the funeral as well. So
wow.
Thanks for all the work he's done over the years, and we won't see his likes again for a number of years.
Long time, yeah. May he rest in peace.
Yep. Indeed.
Okay, Ken, thanks a million. That's all the stories that we have for this week. Now, in a moment, we're going to take a short break for a piece of music. But after that, Sarah's going to be talking to Sorka Kane. And Sorka is the project coordinator of the Be Long, Be Own. And there's a hashtag for that as well, as all good things have now, Ken. And about how to get the best out of your local library and all the events they've planned. So that's coming up after this little bit of Wham. You mostly only hear Wham at Christmas now. So
yes.
I thought, kind of surprised that I'm playing Wham, but maybe I don't think Sarah will be.
And nice little bit of Wham there for your Saturday. This is, of course, the Week in Review. I'm Farah Birmingham. I'm here with Ken Kilbride and Declan Roth, and you're very welcome back to the programme. Well, when was the last time you were in your local library? The arrival of 2022 brings an invitation from Dublin City Libraries and Access Ballymun to celebrate the libraries of Dublin and all they offer us, physically and digitally, as a space for learning, well-being and creativity. Belong BN is an initiative calling on both regular library users and non-users alike to engage with their local libraries through podcasts, online talks, live events, literature, animation and more too. It's just one initiative from a wide variety of exciting and intriguing cultural events being supported and hosted by Access Ballymun over the coming weeks. And to find out a bit more about all that's in store, I am delighted to be joined on the line now by Project Coordinator of Belong BN, Sorka Kane. Thank you so much, Sorka, for joining us. And yeah, it sounds like you're having quite a busy time at the moment.
You know, I suppose we've all had a strange kind of year, but we have been working away behind the scenes developing projects for people to enjoy. So there's a lot of things coming on stream over the next couple of weeks. But Belong Rion itself launched this Monday, so if people are intrigued, there's plenty of content up there already, and there's more to come over the next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It's a real kind of thought provoker, I suppose, to, you know, hopefully things are moving in the right direction now. We can get back out, and certainly our libraries have always been that kind of beacon of, you know, a safe place to go and to learn and explore and maybe go to travel to other places even almost, you know, when we're there as well. And I suppose the initiative then, I mean, what is it trying to achieve, or what's the kind of vision for us?
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose it's a celebratory project is the crux of it. And what we're celebrating is twofold. We're celebrating the impact of art and culture on our well-being and all of the things that that can provide to us. And then we're also celebrating the libraries. They've been working, doing tremendous work revamping their services over the past 2 years so that people can access the services even if they can't get physically into the building, and I suppose we're celebrating them, the online resources, and we're looking forward to a point when all of the kind of physical in-person resources will be back online as well. So it's very much a celebration.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like something we can all look forward to at the moment. Sincere celebration is a good word. Yeah, just looking at the libraries then, I mean, what kind of role do they play, will they play as things open back up more so? You know, what's their significance, I guess, in Dublin in 2022? What do they have to offer?
I think that's a really good question. I think for me, you know, I went into this project thinking, oh, sure, I know what a library is. You know, there's books, there's a librarian, there's a few computers, you can kind of go in and do your homework or whatever. But what I've discovered is that there's just the widest range you could imagine. If you can think it, the libraries are probably doing it in some way. And so I think the piece that is the strongest for me is that they are a space of welcome. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket, you're not expected to buy anything, you're not expected to do anything. You could sit and look out the window, or you could read the newspaper. And I think when the space is back open and it's safe for people to sit and to enjoy community, I think that is what, you know, later on in 2022, where the libraries will really come into their own again. In terms of spaces of community and reconnecting with all of the things that we've been missing. What I will say as well, though, is we don't really have to wait until then, which is the joy of all of the work that they've been doing in the online resources. You know, there's absolutely anything you can think of, whether it's a concert, opera, you know, learning to play guitar, wanting to learn how to make cider or bread, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, there's something you could learn, how to do basic accounting, you know, all this kind of stuff, and it's all free. So it's almost revolutionary, really, in a way, as a service, all of the things that you can access. And I think there's two areas there where the libraries will be really valuable and really important over the coming months. To connect people who maybe have been missing community, and to keep us connected with learning and entertainment and art and culture, even though we're still at this point where we're keeping our distance and keeping each other safe.
There really is a world of opportunities there when you mention things like, you know, from learning the guitar to learning a language to watching a concert to, you know, I mean, there's lots of things there that we can see as being fantastic opportunities. I mean, what kind of event content then have you created as part of the Belong Beyond initiative? What kind of people have you got involved, and how has that kind of come to life?
Yeah, so it's quite a varied project, and one of the things that was key, obviously, for us was to keep everybody safe, so the people could engage with this project in a way that is comfortable and safe for them, both those who are participating in it as artists and kind of collaborators, and then as well for people who are engaging with it as audience members. So what we've done is we've recorded a series of podcasts. So I had the lovely job of driving around the Dublin City Libraries and meeting the librarians, meeting artists and guests, and chatting to them about their work and why they love it and what they do, you know, why they do what they do and what it means to them. So the episodes that have already been released, you can find them on Spotify. And we had Mancon McGann in Kevin Street Library and Owen Devardoon, who's an incredible writer and a story collector, in Walkinstown Library. So that's the very first episode. And in the coming weeks, then, we'll be releasing a couple of episodes every Tuesday. So this Tuesday coming, we have Sharon Ward, who is a musician, a traveller woman who has the most beautiful voice, and she actually shares a couple of songs with us as part of the podcast episode. So there's performance in there too. We talk about history, we talk about nature and science. So there's a little bit of something for everybody coming up over the next couple of weeks. And they'll all be released on Spotify over the coming weeks. But we also have, for maybe younger audience members, we have a children's art project. So one part of this is really cute little animations done by a Limerick-based animator, which are kind of inspired by children and their experiences in the libraries. So they'll go out every Wednesday. But what we also have is a way for people to get involved. So if you are going into your local Dublin City Library to collect some books or to have a quick browse, you can ask the librarian there, and they will be able to point you to some postcards that we have. So these postcards are blank, with space for junior borrowers to tell us a little bit about why they like their library. And then on the other side, there's space for them to dream big. What is their dream library? Right. And what does it look like? They could draw us a picture. They could write us a poem. And we'll be gathering at the end of the project. So you can take that away and fill it in at home and drop it back to your local library, and we'll get it off them.
No doubt you're going to get something there for inspiration from there, you know, when you put that out to them, that idea of kind of just dreaming with no boundaries as to what the libraries of the future might even look like. I mean, coming a little bit specifically to the North Bay then, and the Access Theatre, we've regularly kind of mentioned them on the programme over the last 2 years and all that they've continued to do despite everything thrown at them. What kind of programme of events has the theatre in store for the next couple of months? Or how are things kind of going there, I guess?
Absolutely. So we, as many places did, had a panto planned for January. And obviously, as I've said before, the most important thing is to keep people safe. So in order to do that, we've postponed the panto to April due to all of the kind of government restrictions. And we wanted to make sure that people could still enjoy the panto and have something to look forward to. So it's not cancelled, it is postponed. And ticket holders will have been kind of contacted about this, but if you've any queries, you can get in touch with box office. So that'll be happening in April. But before that happens, in February, we have a community vault exhibition. So the community vault is a kind of intergenerational project. It's a project that is part of our it's part of our green arts department, which is doing a lot of really good work at the moment, looking at kind of where, I suppose, art and our consciousness about the environment can connect. So there'll be an exhibition created by community participants in Ballymun, and that exhibition will be going up in February, and you'll be able to see it in Access in the building, which is going to be, that's a really exciting one. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Brilliant, yeah. I think that something that's come through really strongly has been the kind of role and how central Access is to the whole community, and how much, you know, the community is a part of the theatre and all the work that, that you guys do as well. I mean, if people then would like to kind of, if they've had their appetites whetted to find out a little bit more about the BN campaign, or indeed any of the library's resources, and then obviously the Access Theatre as well, there's probably two or three different kind of points to send them in today. Maybe if you could just give them a shout out to point them in the right direction.
Of course. So for the Belong BN project, there's two main sources, and that would be the Access Ballymun website, which is accessballymun.ie, and the Dublin City Libraries website, which is dublincitylibraries.ie. They're fairly straightforward. And so you'll find all of the information about that up there, but you'll also be able to follow along on social media, so Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then, of course, Spotify for the podcast. And we'll also have some content going up on the Access Ballymun YouTube as well. So for the Belong BN project and all things libraries, that's where you'll find that. And then, you know, if you're looking to see what else is happening with Access, there is, of course, the website, accessballymun.ie. And people could also ring reception or ring box office if they wanted to have a quick run through about what the exhibition times are, for example, or the story with the panto. You could also give us a ring, and we'd be happy to chat you through what's going on.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Sterka. I think, you know, hopefully we've given people a little spark of inspiration there for all of the different things that are possible, available to do in Dublin and on the North Side over the next little while. And, we'd look forward to maybe checking in with you again in a couple of months and seeing how things are going. But the very best of luck with the campaign and with the year ahead, I guess. It sounds like it's going to be an exciting one, hopefully.
Hopefully so, yeah. And thank you very much for having me on.
Great. Thanks a million, Sorka, and thanks to Sarah as well. So coming up in the second part of the show, Sarah will be back in a couple of moments' time, and we will be looking at the local events taking place with Sarah over the next few days. And then Ken is going to have a chat with Christine O'Kelly, who is DCU's dedicated age-friendly university global network coordinator, about all of the initiatives they have and about their recently launched Semester 2 programme and other ways that you can get involved. The jobs and volunteering spot as well, I'll squeeze in before we finish up. So all of that to come from the Week in Review in the next half hour.
90.3.
This is Mears FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in or involved in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. That's while the show is on air. Or if you want to get in touch at any time, you can do so on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Hi Sarah, welcome back again, and some interesting events happening over the next while. A nice outdoor one that's only down the road in the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi Declan, and great to be back, and great to have a selection of indoor, outdoor and online events. So I think hopefully something to work for everybody. There is tours taking place at the moment in the Botanic Gardens, and hopefully with a little bit of winter sunshine behind us, it might be a nice opportunity to pop down there and see what's going on there, and take in a little bit of nature and all that good stuff. This coming Wednesday's the 19th of January, hard to believe, there is a themed guided tour taking place at the gardens. So everyone is asked to meet at the front door of the Palm House, where they'll gather and then head off on a brisk stroll and along the way learn about the effects the plants can have on both their physical and mental states, as well as all the social benefits that they can bring us to. So maybe something you haven't thought about before, but certainly lots of good stuff going on there. I mean, it's believed that humans have evolved to have that kind of instinctive bond with nature, and it's something which, you know, our urban kind of life can threaten to get in the way of, but all the more reason to take these opportunities if we can, and enjoy that particular tour, which is going to be entirely outdoors. Tickets are priced at just €5, and they do say that booking is essential. So if you head along to the website there at botanicgardens.ie, there's a What's On tab, and you can check out Visit Glasnevin, and underneath that then you can book your place on the particular tour, or I'm sure if you pop down as well, they'll get you sorted out there.
Super. Now at Ken's favourite place, there's the opportunity to enjoy monsters, dancing and sauce.
Well, when you put it like that, it is an intriguing one, isn't it? And the Beauty's Cafe Theatre, this is of course what we're talking about, they excel. They're kind of their king is lunchtime theatres, so they're in full swing this month. They're not affected by any 8 p.m. closing times, and they're offering their live theatre fix every day at 1 o'clock. The venue is currently staging a production called Sauce, which is a comedy from award-winning playwright Kira Elizabeth Smith. It stars Clodagh Mooney Duggan and Camille Lucy Ross, and it tells the story of Mella and Maura, who are a compulsive liar and kleptomaniac who are fresh out of controlling relationships and have been thrust into an uneasy freedom. Can they overcome their flaws and shed their inhibitions to avoid dying alone? Which is a slightly dark, I suppose, line for the production. Or, as they say, will their compulsions engulf them in the end? The new dark comedy is, as you said, about monsters, sauce and lots of dancing too, so lots going on there. Tickets are priced at €10 to €15, and they can be booked online now at beautiescafetheatre.com.
Where does the sauce come into it?
Where does the sauce come into it? I know, yeah, there's an awful lot going on there, but they haven't really given that away, so no. You might have to head along
to go. We'll have to go along and see, yeah. Soak up the conversation, the culture and the ideas at the Irish Times Winter Nights.
Yeah, this is something that the Irish Times have run now. I think over the last year or two, they've done a kind of summer series and a winter series, and they attract really top names. I guess this particular series, which runs from the 24th to Monday week to Thursday, January 27th. It's going to feature names from Justice Minister Helen McEntee, which is no doubt going to be an interesting one at the moment, to Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization, rugby legend Brian O'Driscoll, and lots more there too. So they have those kind of connections which can bring and create for interesting conversation and some maybe kind of thought-provoking kind of moments as well. And that's what it's all about, really. It's 4 nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, of talks online. You can log in, check them out, whatever it is that interests you in particular. And the festival is going to reach its finale then at 7:45 on Thursday evening, when the best-selling author and influential feminist Catherine Moran is going to chat with Irish Times journalist Cathy Sheridan. So I think there'll be something there, you know, no matter what your taste or your interest is. There's a world of stuff, I guess, being offered, and you can enjoy it, you know, from your own home or from your own kitchen table, as it is. The tickets for the festival are available in packages, which grants you kind of complete access to all of the talks. So I know there's a couple of different options there, but the best thing to do on that is head along to irishtimes.com/winter-nights, or even if you just search Irish Times Winter Nights, that should bring you all the details.
Now, the opportunity to hear somebody playing the piano live and really well doesn't come along too often, but it's coming along at the National Concert Hall on January 20th.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at the moment. Even that chat with Circa there, you know, I think we're not going to maybe take these moments for granted, maybe in a way that we might have previously. But the National Concert Hall this coming Thursday is going to ring out to the sounds of live piano music, and excellent live piano music, I have no doubt, too, when the pianist Zata Canna Mason performs. And the evening is going to mark the first performance in the NCH's 2022 International Concert Series, which invites audiences to rediscover and reimagine the power and the magic of music in the times we live in. Izata enjoys a successful career as a solo artist, with concerto appearances, solo recitals and chamber concerts throughout the UK and further as well. This is her NCH debut, and she's going to share a programme of piano music that she will also then perform and take to some of the most illustrious concert venues in Europe this spring as one of the European Concert Hall Organisation's rising stars. So this is an opportunity to check her out on our doorstep and enjoy some live music as well. Tickets for the performance are priced between €15 and €24.50, and they can be booked online on the What's On tab at nch.ie.
Now, probably just time to squeeze in one more, Sarah. So what about checking out the Crack Den Comedy Club? That sounds interesting.
It does, and again, yeah, it's something positive to see that there's live comedy happening at the moment, and no doubt in a safe environment, but something that we look forward to maybe seeing a little bit more of in future. This particular one stars Damo Clark, Emily Ashmore and Dar Murren, just three of the funny people on the bill for this weekend's Crackdown Comedy Club, which takes place at the Workman's Club. Essentially, they have Friday and Saturday evenings there from 6 until 7:30. It's your kind of dose of laugh out loud comedy live at the venue on the Quays there. The Crackdown Comedy Club runs Fridays and Saturdays at the Workman's, and then Sundays and Mondays at Mulligan and Haynes. Tickets are just €12 for that, and you can get them and get all the details at crackdowncomedyclub.com.
Excellent. Thanks a million, Sarah, for all the events, and thanks indeed for the interesting chat as well about the libraries and all of the things that are happening there earlier on. So we'll talk to you next week.
Lots going on. Looking forward to it. Thanks,
Stephen. Right. Take care. And just to predict that my musical tastes can be unpredictable, And I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Ken is looking intriguingly across the desk at me here. But in a moment, we're going to play a little piece of music. But after that, then we'll be back. And Ken is going to talk to Christine O'Kelly, who is, I love this long title she has. She's DCU's Dedicated Age Friendly University Global Network Coordinator. So that's just after this piece of music from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, and with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, you're very welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you have anything you would like us to feature, you can contact us live on air at text 087-69-44500. That's text 087-69-44500. Or you can email us anytime at all during the week on weekinreview@near.ie. DCU is committed to widening access to higher education. This includes enhancing the lives of older members of our community through innovative educational, health and wellness, art and cultural activities. Christine O'Kelly, who's DCU's Dedicated Age-Friendly University Global Network Coordinator, joins me here to have a chat about the work they're doing and some of their upcoming activities. So, good afternoon, Christine. How are you? And welcome to the programme. Or welcome back at this stage, I should say.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. And thank you so much for having me and giving me this opportunity to speak about the work in DCU.
So could you maybe just give us a quick outline on what is the age-friendly initiative in DCU?
So DCU developed the 10 principles of an age-friendly university in 2012, and we launched those, and it looked at how a university could be more age-friendly, so to encourage wider participation and more age inclusivity on campus. We have a large number of older people that come onto the campus, but it's not just about providing education opportunities, it's about engaging people of different ages in all aspects of the core activities of a university, which is teaching, learning and research. And of course, this is part of the Age Friendly Cities programme rolled out by the World Health Organization. And Ireland is one of the leading countries in the world in Age Friendly. And we're identified by the World Health Organization as the first country in the world to become Age Friendly. So we can see Age Friendly practices right across our communities, from, you know, the way the bus drops the step and it pulls in for people, you know, different types of seating in the community and all of that. So it's part of that whole initiative. Where higher education is involved in being age friendly.
So I say, just when I introduced you there, we gave you the title of the Age Friendly University Global Network Coordinator. And it's saying that, you know, the higher education institutions have now grown over to 50 members globally. So, and you were telling me beforehand, you've been sort of zooming late into nights with all these members around the world.
That's right, Ken. And we actually have 87 members in the global network now. And that represents North America, South America, Europe, Southeast Asia, Australia, and most recently, of course, some of our new members are in Brazil, which is really fantastic. So it's not just, it's fantastic that DCU took the lead on this and that other people are taking the initiative of DCU and actually implementing it on their own campus.
So that's great. And I say you have the 10 principles. I was going to give you a test and ask you to do all 10. Are that fair or not unfair?
Well, if I was go through all 10,
the top one.
quite long, but in actual fact, the first one is the most important thing, to involve older people in all aspects of the core activities of the university. We also promote intergenerational engagement between students, between our traditional cohort of students and older people. And the reason we really want to promote that, and that's really one of the most important things about the age-friendly university, throughout the European Union, we know, and throughout the world, we know that the people have much longer lives now than they had in the past, whether it's through better standards of living or, you know, medical intervention. And one of the things that we do know is that we're going to have to work for longer. I mean, the way we're going, we know there's more older people in Ireland than there are, you know, this is growing number of older people. And we know that globally there are more 80-year-olds on the planet than there are 5-year-olds. And that has very serious implications at a worldwide level. So the European Union engaged last year in a consultation on the EU Green Paper on Aging. And one of the key things they spoke about was intergenerational engagement. So that, and also lifelong learning. So those two hand in hand are fundamental to the Age Friendly University initiative. So the reality is, evidence shows that when people engage in learning, whether it's informal or formal learning, it gives them better health outcomes, you know, because you're getting up and you're getting ready and you've got something to look forward to and you're going out and you're meeting people and you're socializing and you're doing something that expands your mind or is good for your body and exercise, or even if it's, you know, it's a leisure activity. The fact that you're engaging in some type of learning is fantastic. And then the second aspect of that is the whole intergenerational event. And, you know, we've talked about this many times over the COVID, saying this word, we're all in this together. But we are all in this together and we need each other. We need people of all generations to work together collaboratively right across, in terms of, you know, supporting each other, supporting families where you have older people who are being supported by younger people in the community, and you have older people who are grandparents who are minding children. And all of that, you know, that's all absolutely essential. And we can't do it without each other. So the EU Green Paper looks at aging over the life course. And the two key things out of the EU Green Paper on Aging, which sets the policy for the future of children in this country, is around lifelong learning and intergenerational engagement.
So when you talk about older adults, now I'm not, maybe not there myself, possibly am, but what do you mean by an older adult?
So that's a good question, Ken, because I'm constantly being asked this. So older adults are defined by the European Union as those over 55. Defines older adults as those over 65. So we have different cohorts. But you can actually understand that when we talk about older adults, I mean, the word elderly is a very dismissive term. I mean, really, we don't use the word elderly in the sector. The word is older adult. But the needs, you know, when you look at, we talk about young people, the needs of a person who, you know, between 18, 20 and 30 are very different. You know, so why do people lump everybody over 55 into the one category of older? So the needs of a 55-year-old, a 65-year-old, a 75-year-old and beyond are all very different. So, you know, older people are not a homogenous group. They've all very different needs, and we have to look at those needs. So sometimes that need is around having to reskill or upskill in your mid-50s if you discover your job has been, you know, has ended, or you want to do something new. And that's where the Likes for University comes in, because it gives you that opportunity to dip your toe into the water, to retrain, to upskill, or to learn a new skill, or to meet new friends and make new friends. And all of this is very good for your health in the long term.
Oh, indeed. Could you maybe give me some examples of opportunities you have upcoming in the near future?
Yes, of course. So we run two programs in DCU under the Age Friendly program. We have lots of different events going on throughout the year. So at the moment, you can come into DCU and take a module, so that's the same as a course, for audit with the undergraduate program. So for example, if somebody wanted to say, I have an interest in an introduction to law, you can come into DCU and take that module and just sit in on the class. You get a DCU email, you get a DCU student card, you get access to the library, and you can sit in and you can take the class without having to take the exams. Now, it doesn't give you a credit for the exam, but it gives you the learning, it gives you the opportunity to engage with students on campus, to engage in the lectures, and to learn something new. And then the second way you can do that also, if you do want to take it, you can take it for credit, and that goes towards a major award like a degree. If you were doing a degree in law, for example, you can do the one module. So you need a number of modules to complete a degree. The second way you can do things, so you can do that for credit or you can do it for audit. And then we have a second program, which is our Love of Lifelong Learning program. And that will actually be starting at the beginning of February. And we have a number of modules, and they're very reasonably priced. They're €60 for 16 weeks of tuition. So we have an English literature course on banned books. We have life writing on a Thursday evening. We have history, facts and moments in history. We have a genealogy program. We also have a choir. We do free computer training to the public. That's absolutely free. You can just ring up and leave your number with us in DCU, and we offer free computer training, which is delivered by our students. And we also will have a new course this year, which will also be free to the public, on supported decision making, which is part of the Supported Decision Making Act that was implemented in 2015. So we have a number of things going on across the university from a learning point of view. And then, of course, if you're on our mailing list, you'll be invited to lots of different events. We have art exhibitions because we have an art group called Botanical Art. We have reading groups. We have all sorts of things going on. We have a very interesting European project called Traditions, Recipes and Cuisines of Europe Using Your Smartphone. So we're looking for volunteers for that. And in cooking, the idea of this project is that you would cook a recipe. You would talk about your recipe and the cultural aspect of your recipe. Maybe it's, you know, my mother always made barn brack, and the reason you put the money in the barn brack. And you would record it using your smartphone. So you're getting the training element of the smartphone and how to record a video. And then that's uploaded onto a European platform. And it's part of a European project with 8 other participants. And then we also have this week, we're delighted in DCU Age Friendly to be the country lead on a big project called the Intergenerational International Week. And that's going to be held between the 24th of May and the 24th of April, 1st of May.
Now, just looking at the current semester list, you know, you have environmental ethics and global moral issues, policing and the media, film history and theory, how life works two, how life works one, formulation and delivery of biopharmaceuticals. So there's a whole range of things on. How are they delivered at the moment? And, you know, when are they generally on, if you can get on them?
Well, they just started on Monday because semester for the undergraduate program on Monday. And if people are interested in those modules, they go onto their website, they pick the module they would like to do. And you can always, you know, have a conversation with us and say, listen, I'm thinking of doing this, what's involved in it? And, you know, we're very happy to speak to people about it. And what they do is they register for the modules. So you have to download a letter, or we can send one by post. You fill in the module you want to do. It's €100 for that module, those modules. And you send a copy of your ID, and then you get back, that's sent to the registry in DCU. And then you register for that module. Then we just let the lecturer know that Ken is going to be in his class for the semester. And then that takes place over the 16 weeks of semester. So there's most of our modules this year are all being delivered face-to-face. So okay. We've sent capacity in the classrooms. So we do ask people to wear a mask and, of course, sanitize. So they're fairly strict in the classrooms. And where possible, and there's only one or two modules that are not being held face-to-face, but, you know, they're actually listed on our website.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I went through there was 70, 80 courses listed. I was going through them all and going, there's lots on here I could do, and And as I say, you can combine them into actually an undergraduate course or degree or an award at some particular time.
Well, just to clarify that, Ken, you have to be in the particular stream. So if you want to do a law degree and you're doing an introduction to law, you have to stick with the modules that are being offered within that degree. But if you were just want to try it out and see how you liked it, and then we're thinking maybe down the road I might do this, it's a good thing to dip your toe into the water, and it's a good way of doing that.
Or could end up being a barrister.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I don't know about that, but you'd have to. I mean, the best way to do that, if people are interested in talking to us about a big award like that, is to come and talk to us directly, and we can facilitate and help you decide, make a decision based on what your needs are.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks very much. I hope got some people interested in it. So if somebody was interested in getting more information on the activities that you're doing, where would they find that?
Well, we have a website. It's www.dcu/age-friendly. You can ring the DCU main line, which is 700-700. You can ring our office, which is 700-8933. And you can send us an email. And my email address is christine.o'kelly@dcu.ie. But if you just Google DCU Age Friendly, you'll find us. And we have a contact number on our page, a contact form. People just fill it in and say, can you give us a call back? There's no problem. We're very happy to do that.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for telling us all about that today, Christine. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks very much, Ken, for the opportunity.
And thanks a million, Christine, and thanks to Ken too. Now, before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these each week from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And in fact, this week, 25 requests for volunteers and 372 job offers. Now, the volunteering one to highlight this week is for Carmichael. They are looking for new mentors to join their panel from a range of backgrounds, including large corporate, SME, public sector and the non-profit sector. To date, over 150 CEOs and managers of non-profit organisations have benefited from the Carmichael Mentoring Programme. Being the leader of an organisation can be tough anywhere, but it's especially true in the non-profit sector. And the purpose of the Carmichael Mentor Scheme is to help meet with this need by using the panel of very experienced mentors who bring a range of skills, insights and backgrounds. And the mentoring programme typically involves 8 2-hour sessions over a 9-month period. Now, if that's something you're interested in volunteering for as a mentor, well, you can contact Roisin@carmichaelireland.ie for more details. That's Roisin@carmichaelireland.ie, and Roisin will give you more details. The job offer to highlight today is one that is available with Horizon House. They are a small, independent, family-owned home in operation for the past 13 years. They provide a warm and nurturing environment and take pride in the work they do with young people. They're currently inviting applications from suitable applicants for the positions of full-time social care workers and relief social care workers as well. And if you're interested in either of those positions, please send a CV and a completed application form to Gwen. And Gwen's email address is managerashlinghomes@gmail.com. So that's manager Ashling, A-I-S-L-I-N-G, Holmes. managerashlinghomes@gmail.com. Now, that's it, believe it or not, for this week, for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter during the week. You'll get me @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, #WeekinReview. That's it. So from Sarah, Ken and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time, 12:30, next Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.